What's going on? I'm sitting here sweating this cut line with a bunch of tryhards on my Discord right now. I'm pretty sure Ryan Fox just did the Lord's work and double bogeyed the last hole to possibly push the cut to +2. Still got a couple guys to sweat, but we know enough information to get going and do the showdown hoedown for round 3. So let's get going. What's up, new guy? I'm the Degenerate 75. I'm a PGA DFS content creator who is trying to do something a little bit different. Trying to remind people that PGA DFS is fun. It is hard. And, you know, maybe there are people that can do somewhat sharp content and somewhat entertaining. Okay, at least 3 people think I'm entertaining. So, if you like the cut of my jib, I highly encourage you to hang around. You might like the next 20 minutes. Also, come check out my schedule. You see it right here above my shoulder there, buddy. I do the Showdown Hoedown, round 3 and round 4 every Friday and Saturday night. That's what you're watching right now, dude. And then, of course, I do the live stream every Wednesday, 7 p.m., Lord's time zone. As always, be there. That's Central, new guy. But I want you to know I'm doing something a little different this week. I'm going to do my retrospective. This is normally something I only do for my website and Discord members where we look at contest selection, initial pricing, and everything. But seeing as such a big week for the players, you like my little thumbnail there, that weird guy they had a couple years ago? He's holding a Justin Thomas trophy. I don't know what's happening. It's funny, though. So I will be doing that. I will be putting that out Sunday. I'm making a point to not look at the players' prices that have been released. They're already released on DraftKings, if you haven't seen. And just glancing at the contest, they look delicious for week-long, a.k.a. kicking the nuts. So I'll be talking about that and how I did this week at how I did overall. Week-long, showdown, everything. I try to be open and honest about my success or lack thereof as a DFS player. So, wait till the very end if you're a guy that likes Prize Picks, because I'll give you some thoughts on what I like for Prize Picks tomorrow, which, by the way, yes, I know I'm not going to do cricket. I just thought it was funny that they have cricket, so I put that up there. That's just to remind me to talk about it. I'll also be giving you 4 guys who are really good historical round 3 scores, because I'm telling you, there's something about guys who typically score well on round 3. I think it's a mentality where they say, fuck it, I'm going at every pin. So we'll look at that. Let's start. We always start, if you don't know, the cut sweats, which is about to change. It's going to go even higher now that it's going to be +2 once this updates, because last I saw, unless Greg Coach makes a birdie, but he's in the rough, so I doubt it. I think that this number is going to be pretty high. It's already at over 10% in all of the contests, and it's going to get higher. Obviously, if it goes to +2, there's a lot of really good players sitting there at +2. Let's see if I have any of my guys who are on that +2. Yeah, it's going to help me get Sheamus in, Norin, and then Morikawa can go fuck himself. He's actually my best single entry this week. It's a really good lineup, but it has Morikawa, so whatever, Morikawa. I can't wait to lose more money on you next week, you slapdick. If you want full transparency, I didn't do a ton of week-long this week. Wednesday night, I legit bitched out on like $1,500 worth of lineups. I just didn't have a hot take this week. I played a couple Weather Edge lineups, played a lot less. And you know why? Because I want to play Showdown. There's just such a bigger edge at Showdown. I would rather just put more money into Showdown. I won the big $5 contest yesterday. I was winning the $20 by 27 points after the morning. And then the win said, hey, how about we just don't fucking blow all afternoon and turn this tournament into John Deere and let John Rahm and Patrick Cantlay make 58 birdies. So I still got 4th. That's cool. A couple more top 10s. A win, never sneezed at a win in a GPP. Killed it again today. A couple top 10s, Club Twirl, and my baby, the $10 18 max. So, you know, this is why I play more Showdown and less week long, because at the end of the day, I don't like to be kicked in the nuts. If I did, I'd just go pay somebody to send me a kick me in the nuts-a-gram, okay? That's what week-long is. Week-long, you need so many things to go right. I get it. The prizes are amazing, but I'm just telling you why I play less of it and play more Showdown. Not to mention Showdown cash, a million times easier than week-long cash. Just trying to help you, brother. Just trying to help you. Look, you know what makes PGA DFS fun? When you're not having to fucking deposit every fucking week. So if you go look at my contest, hey, I got some 6 of 6s. All right, I didn't even know I had any, to be real. Definitely below average, but it's whatever. You know, a lot of my 5 of 6 rate's really high this week. Like, I had a very high 5 of 6 rate. As you can see, looking at my lineups, there's just always one asshole in every lineup, isn't there? And that's how it goes, right? I don't worry too much about it. At week long, literally when I hit submit and it locks, I'm like, well, all that money's gone. And anything I get back is just a bonus, right? Now, with Showdown, I actually do expect to get a portion of my money back just by playing basic wave edges and doing this crazy thing called checking the fucking weather. I know. All right, let's talk contest selection for tomorrow. I will tell you, if you didn't see, last night, I could foresee this. I tweeted at DraftKings, and I was all up in my host ear, and I said, give me better contest for round 3, because round 3 is where DraftKings notoriously shits the bed. So, A, I'll give it up. DraftKings. Literally, I pointed out five contests I wanted them to bump the prizes up in, and they did it in every single one of them. The $100 single entry, $200 single entry, $44 club twirl, the big $5, and of course, my baby, the $10 18 max that I worked so hard to get created. So, kudos. But now time to shit on DraftKings. I think me and you have a different definition of bumping up the prices, okay? I don't think bumping it up 20% was exactly what I had in mind. DraftKings, fuck, get it together. However, I am thankful. It does seem to be trending in the right direction. I will tweet at them again tomorrow, or probably tonight when all these fill very, very quickly. And I'll be like, you should have made them bigger. And hopefully we get even bigger ones for Sunday Showdown, where I think the biggest edge of all 4 days exists, okay? So for tomorrow, even the big $20, the main pitch and putt tomorrow, pretty good. 25% up top. That's just basically what it's always going to be. I've accepted that. I am open to playing in this when it's 25% up top, not 28%, not 33%. When it's that, it's get the fuck out of here. The 5-5-5 tomorrow is actually about as delicious as you'll ever see it. 25% to first, which is awesome. 60% of first goes to second. And then even 14th place is 125th of first. So, you know, like if you just want to build one or two lineups tomorrow, I'm telling you, that 5-5-5 is kind of the nuts. I like it a lot. The $100 single entry, awesome. Best tournament out there. They're up to, hey, it was 30,000. Now it's up to 35. Let's take our wins. Hopefully we get it up to like 50, 60,000 consistently. So, you know, if you're one of those guys that plays $100 tomorrow, you'd be so much better playing a $100 single entry than going and tossing five in the old kick in the nuts lottery contest. They bumped the $200 single entry from 20,000 up to 30,000. It is a very, you know, not very good, but a pretty good price structure. Very playable. I always love the club twirl. Might have got, I don't know. I got right around, I got top 10. That's all I know. In the club twirl today, it's just a tournament I always seem to have success in. I love the payout structure. I wish they'd bump it up, get it closer to like 50,000 in the prize pool, but we got to keep filling it up. The $33 single entry, a backup $100 single entry, a backup $200 single dollar entry. But I know a lot of you are playing on a budget. Dude, the $1 20 max, just love that tournament. I don't play in it, but I think it's a great structure if you want to build. 20 lineups is a very good number of lineups to build for Showdown, right? Usually it's easier for me to play a slightly bigger pool at Showdown because I'm more willing to play guys that are kind of, or they could guys. And so because of that, I've always found 20 to 50 lineups kind of be my sweet spot. I don't usually put 150 lineups in at Showdown. $5 single entry is great. $12 single entry is great. And if you really want a mass multi-enter, but you ain't got millions of dollars, just go do the 50 cent, man. This is a pretty good contest, right? It's a good way to learn how to MME, mass multi-enter. So there you go. Better contest tomorrow. Good DraftKings. Thank you, but not great. Let's be great on Sunday. All right, we're moving on. How'd the course play today? Well, honestly, not as hard as I thought. Yes, hard. It was hard. It was not easy out there. The course played exactly 1.5 strokes over, and it was almost a perfect stroke difference between the two. Did they just call it for darkness? No. Okay. Sorry, I'm still seeing if Coke's moving the line here. Okay. Which if he does move the line, some people are going to need some Coke. You know what I'm saying? It looks like it's going to be plus two is what they're saying. Okay, it's 97% with old Ryan Fox doing everybody a solid and double bogey in 18. What you want to know is the wind was blowing harder in the afternoon and the course played harder. But what I will notice after 2 days of noticing this, and I'm going to give a little credit to my dude Model Maniac for pointing this out, I think that they really watered the greens a lot because, yes, they are hard as concrete, but this course, it normally bakes out in the afternoon and gets borderline unplayable. But I think that they knew with the winds blowing that they could not have crazy fast runaway greens like they normally have here. Even with the ball rolling on Ricky Fowler today, that's not something we've seen a lot of. They knew that if the winds were blowing and it was too baked out that they would almost certainly have to delay play like we saw at the Amex a few weeks ago, right? So the greens are not, they're just not as punitive as we've seen, and that is really one of the big protections of this course. And because of that, the scores have not gotten out of control. Matter of fact, there's been some really good scores. What, Connor shoot a minus six today? My God, man. Oh, by the way, played Corey Connors in my lineups and Taylor Montgomery. Good people. Let's see. So that's what I'm taking away from this is that like this course isn't playing as fast and hard as it normally does. And I think they saw the wind forecast and they knew that they had to do that. And so I think that needs to be taken into account on how we play tomorrow. That's what I'm drawing from that, right? Because I thought the course would for sure play at least two strokes over par today, probably closer to three is what I was projecting. And as you can see, it didn't. It played 1.5 over par and the wind was a howling today, right? You could see the Jordan Spieth interview. It looked like he was about to get blown away by a hurricane. So let's talk about when tomorrow. I don't want to brag, but I'm a very wealthy man. I can't afford the $18 a year for my Windy.com subscription. As you can see, these are the six major projections that everybody uses right here. And all of them agree that the winds are going to be there again tomorrow, probably on par with what we saw this afternoon. And all six projections agree that the winds are going to pick up throughout the day. But what I've seen is that, like, even with the baked out greens and the wind blowing in the afternoon, it's not affecting scoring, like differentials of the average scoring as much as you may think, right? So logically you think, oh, I'm going to go play all the guys tomorrow morning. They're going to be on a softer course and the wind's going to be blowing less. And I do agree with that. But like, there were plenty of guys who got the course in the afternoon. So I think that, like, you know, let's say that the course does play a quarter shot or a half a shot easier in the morning than it does in the afternoon. I don't think that means you want to exclude all the afternoon guys from your player pool tomorrow, because A, the guys who are playing really well this week are going to be up there. B, the better players are going to be there. And C, I think that the course is still gettable even when it's quote-unquote a little bit harder in the afternoon. Okay, but I will tell you, if you're going to play some crazy punts, you want a guy that's going to go out there and boat race the course, because they'll almost certainly go off in twos. Probably starting around 7 a.m., they'll go off for about, what will that be, about six straight hours they'll go off, and then at 1 o'clock, the final group will go off. They'll play till what, 5:30 or so, right? That's basically what tomorrow is going to be, assuming they get this round done. I'm checking my phone. Oh, it's suspended! No! No, they just suspended the round mid-show. This is probably riveting television as you watch me look at my phone. Yeah, Greg Coach said, it said, hey, I'm not fucking hitting this shot. So we're actually not even going to know the cut. There is a chance he could birdie. I'm going to say from the rough on nine, not very likely, Bob. But if he does birdie, it will fuck everybody. So now we know that you're going to have your ass up in the morning. That is now what we know, okay? And because of that, this means that guys at plus two, some of them are going to be owned. And if he makes a birdie on his 18th hole, it's going to move the cut and all those guys won't play. So you've got to be aware of this. Okay. This just happened right now. I'm telling you, if you want to make the best lineups, you want to play guys, you want to have some exposure to those plus two guys, because they are all going to be criminally under-owned tomorrow. But the only way you're going to know that you're not putting them in a dead lineup is you're going to have your ass up in the morning and wait for that dude to finish his round. By the way, we're also not going to get tee times, but I can go ahead and tell you, here's the tee times. The lower your fucking score is, right? The worse your score is, the earlier you're going out, right? So all the guys that plus one or plus two, whatever the cut is, they'll be the very first motherfathers out on the course. You want to know who's going to be the last guy out on the course tomorrow? Kurt Kitayama. There you go, because he's winning the damn tournament. All right, so that is very important information. I hope you don't like to sleep in on a Saturday morning and try to make optimal lineups, because your ass just got screwed. All right, here's WinFinder. No one gives a shit. Okay, I don't not know why I have that up. Let's see. Was that anything? Oh, that's just me doing my pricing relationship for the stone. Sorry, I was working. Hey, you know, I got to make a lot of lineups tonight, and you know the best one out there? It's the solver right here. You got to know the difference between lineup generators and lineup optimizers. Optimizers take your player pool and make the best version of those lineups. I have now had 12 top 10s over the past 5 weeks at Showdown, and every single one of those lineups, 100% of them have been made by this right here, the solver. I think it's the best thing out there. If you use my landing page, you see right there where it says projections? My projections are on there for week long, round one, round two, round three, and round four Showdown, and you can use those projections. It's not going to tell you who to play, but you go make your player pool, and it is going to make the best versions of those lineups for you. I can't imagine doing this and not having the solver. It'd be without it. So when you go sign up, look, this is the best part, $25 a month. Are you fucking kidding me? $25 a month for a lineup optimizer? Get the fuck out of here. Use my landing page. It will get you signed up, and it will come loaded with my projections so you can use them. I don't get how anybody can make lineups more than 20 a slate and not want to rip your eyeballs out. I used to do it, and I somehow still have eyeballs. I was too young to know better. I was too young. Okay, let's get to some stats now that they blew the horn. And this is going to get tricky now. It's going to get real, real tricky. All right, the first thing I always like to do is I like to go right down to the cut line, because you got to remember, new guy, on Saturday Showdown, there are no placement points. So if you're playing all the guys at the top, you're like, I need those placement points. Well, you're a dumbass. And second of all, you're a dumbass. Okay, there, that's the two main points I want to make there. Right now, as I told you, the cut is currently at plus two. But if our boy old Greg got a little coke on your nose, makes a birdie on his 18th hole, which is not likely. I'm telling you, it's not likely. Last I saw, he was sitting in the rough, and that's already a hard ass hole. He's 207 out from the rough. Good luck making a birdie with that, bro. So I would say probably something like 98% that it's going to be, the cut is going to be plus two. And so what I want to do is I want to go look at Fox, Henley, Seamus Power, Zach Johnson, Alex Noren, S.H. Kim, and Davis Thompson. All these guys are going to play tomorrow, and you're going to get them all at 1%. First of all, people are not going to play them because they're not even sure they're going to make the cut. Second of all, people aren't going to play them because they think, oh, they're too far back to get me any position points. Dumbass. And people are thinking, oh, they're playing bad. I don't want to play guys that are playing bad. Or you could. So this is what I'm telling you, man. If you want to know the key, if you go look at every single good showdown lineup I have, there are one or two guys in it where you're like, what the why the hell did you play that guy? You can't play Thomas Dietrich. He withdrew last week. You can't play him in round one showdown. Or you could. Okay, it's showdown. It's a single round. Shit, weird shit happens. John Rahm's a god. He's the best player ever. He could never have a bad round. Or he could. Just play the game. Don't be afraid to get a little bit out and pick some icky guys, because in a single round of showdown golf, it is so wildly variant. And once you embrace that that's where the variance is and that this can't be predicted, that is where the real edge in showdown exists. Okay? That and chalk donkeys get punished at showdown a million times more often than they do at week long. So right off the bat, I'm going to really be checking out these guys sitting here at plus two, right? Like, you're telling me you can't see a Russell Henley going out tomorrow morning and shooting a five under with a birdie streak and a bogey-free round, right? You're telling me there's no way that can happen? Because he'll be less than 1% owned. And if he does that, you'll basically already have the start to a nuts lineup, okay? Ryan Fox, he doubled the last and fucking moved the line. I hate that guy. Okay, you go hate him. I'll go play him and watch. He'll like shoot a 600 tomorrow, break the slate. You got to be open to these guys. And yes, they're nasty. Yes, they're not great plays. There's a reason they're two over so far, dude. But that's the first place I'm always looking at Saturday showdown. From there, I really love to give emphasis to these guys down here simply because, well, yes, they'll probably be out in slightly better conditions, but they're just going to be lower owned, right? They're going to be lower owned. The next thing I want to look at are guys that just really shit the bed today, right? Like, who are some guys that did not play well? Cam Young shot over par today and his approach was off. He could never do good.
Or he could.
I'm just saying, don't be afraid to go back. John Rahm was just horrendous today, man. Something's wrong with him. His streak's over. Okay. Let's see. Who else do we got here? Chris Kirk. Yeah, he's the whole high of the winning last week finally caught up to him. He's done. All righty. Let's see here. Aaron Rye. Yeah, he wears two gloves. I don't play guys that play two gloves. Okay, you do you. Adam Schenck. Andrew Putnam. Robbie Shelton. Keegan Bradley. Donkey Chuck. You know he's going to bounce back tomorrow. I will give Keegan this. That guy will fight. And when he gets off to a slow start, look, when Hideki gets off to a slow start, his ass packs it up and he's done. Okay, if he starts bogey, just go no. Every lineup he's in, just fucking give up on it, okay? But when Keegan started, I had Keegan in my cash lineup today, and he started like bogey, double bogey. And I'm like, well, this cash lineup fucking sucks. And then he just keeps grinding. I think he got, I don't know, I don't remember, it was around three or four birdies coming home. And like that really helped save a cash lineup, right? So I like those guys that'll keep fighting. And Keegan will keep fighting. Even when he sucks, he just keeps fighting. There's something to be said about that. All right, from there, you know where I like to go. I like to, and by the way, the guys that I'm automatically fading tomorrow, you want a quick list? Corey Connors. Justin Thomas was unbelievable today in the tougher conditions. I've got to play tomorrow. I'm just going to let you know. This is an anecdote. I have no proof of it. But every time Justin Thomas has a God-level round in the worst conditions, he always sucks the next round. Anytime he seems, oh my God, he gets the easier conditions tomorrow, and he played amazing, I've got to play him. Every single time he lets me down. I would be shocked if he's not the highest owned guy tomorrow. Taylor Montgomery, Kurt Kitayama, these guys that all had great rounds today, I don't want to pay the ownership premium, so I'm out. From there, I'm going to go check out approach. Did anybody just kill it with approach today? I mean, this Max Homa ball striking is getting out of control. Long, hard courses, Max Homa is a deity, okay? And if this ball striking continues, he is not going to continue to putt and be that bad around the greens, right? He shot a minus one today, and it could have very easily been a minus three, minus four type round, okay? So, like, if he just putts average and plays average around the greens, this is a minus three round. If he plays good, it becomes a minus five, minus six slate breaker round. Wyndham Clark. Okay. I mean, that's pretty impressive. Victor Hovland. Didn't he make a hole in one today? Somebody. Yeah, I didn't even see that. I was golfing, boy. Okay. Corey Connors. That is unbelievable round right there. You go chase that if you want, big guy. What? Ooh. Mr. Johnson got DQ'd. Oh, my God. Tyrrell Hatton, he's going to be so popular tomorrow. Look at that ball striking today. And if you don't know, Tyrrell Hatton can putt. So the fact that he's putting that poorly, Xander Schauffele, just ball striking keen, can't get it done around the green. So that's what I'm looking at. I'm just going to look at some guys. Because if you don't know, approach is the thing most strongly correlated to strong rounds and showdown. Off the tee, did anybody just really shoot themselves in the dick off the tee? First of all, you got to look at guys that made the cut, right? Which we don't know about old Greg. You got some coke on your nose. Let's see. Anybody else that made the cut? Ooh, Justin Suh. Really bad off the tee, but man, he really, that approach. Yo, okay. And he putted poorly, and he still shot a plus one. Okay, okay. Anybody else really sticking out to me here that made the cut? That's kind of the key. They haven't booted out all the guys that made the cut, and they're not going to tonight. Chris Kirk, good on approach, really bad off the tee. He was kind of bad at everything but approach today. But once again, if there's one thing I want to see you playing well at, it's that. Anybody just really shitted away around the greens? See, all these guys right here, they just quit. Like, they just quit. They're just done. Like, I'm done. I'm not going to try. We already talked about Tyrrell. Danny Willett. Okay. All right. That's what I want to see. Danny Willett shot a plus one today. But really, that round should have been an even or a minus one if he just doesn't play like an asshole around the greens. So that's a guy that, like, right there. Ooh, Victor Hovland. We already talked about him. His numbers look really nice. We already talked about Max Homa. Tony Finau. Wow, very nice ball striking. Okay. So this is why I like to sort this way and go find this stuff, right? And so those are the main things I'm going to look at. Did you kill yourself off the tee? Did you kill yourself around the green? And did you kill it on approach? Those are the three things I care about. Yes, you can go look at putting, but I don't really punish people for hot rounds of putting, right? If somebody has a good round of putting, I don't instantly, you know, discredit them that they're not going to keep that up. Because how many times have we seen it where those guys just have those hot putter weeks? I will tell you this. The reason I played Taylor Montgomery today is because he had a terrible putting round yesterday, and Taylor Montgomery can roll it. So if you see somebody who's traditionally a good putter and who is not putting well, like Tyrrell Hatton, that should be like a fucking green light to go play him. All right. You want to know the four guys who are traditionally very good round three scores? And you want some prize picks? Well, before I tell you that, go check out my website. It is the fastest growing community out there, dgen75.com. Come check it out. It is a cool community. It is all about teaching you how to play. You won't get a single fucking pick over there, but you will get great content. You will get a great community, and you will get the best tool in all of the community. Here is my round three showdown Rosetta Stone from last week, right? We got all kinds of cool measurements out there that not enough people are talking about, like true approach, good approach, short game regression, bad game regression, historical round three scoring, best tee times, ownership, cash plays, GPPs, high leverage plays, sleepers, pivots, even got injury watch, you mother father. It's all right there. And if you want this, come sign up at the site or don't. It's up to you, man. You just keep enjoying the free YouTube stuff. And if you can't tell, this is just from last week. I'm going to start doing this collage every week because we win so much. Just, it's already Friday and we've already got more screenshots for this week to fill this thing up. Don't forget to go like and subscribe because YouTube won't share my shit. And, you know, like, subscribe, tell a friend, and don't forget to come check out my show Sunday about my retrospective that I normally only do for the Discord. Let's get to it. The four guys that are really good values that are all top 10 at round three scoring, Keegan Bradley. He could never do good. He did bad today. Taylor Moore. What the fuck? Who let him in? Sungjae Im and Tommy Fleetwood. Four really good guys that historically have good round three scoring. If you think that's a bullshit stat, that's fine. That's your opinion. I actually think it's a pretty good stat. So I like to use it. All right. Lastly, for prize picks, I will tell you once again, I already hinted at this earlier. If you're playing prize picks tomorrow, if you played prize picks today, you would have been much better playing the unders today. I didn't play it because I wasn't sure. I was a little questionable about, like, what the hell went on this course in the first round. It wasn't near as tough as I thought it was going to be with that wind in the afternoon. Matter of fact, it was downright pretty damn easy. So here and then today, when the wind really was howling, you could see it. And the greens did look a little baked out and the course looked a little crusty. They still didn't. It didn't get out of control. So if I see them hanging 74s tomorrow, 74.5s, I'm probably going to be taking the unders because I think this is a course where they're going to water and they're going to keep it from being a runaway train if this wind starts howling and it's too baked out. You'll see what happens like we saw with Ricky today where his ball starts rolling away, and they got to prevent against that. So I think they're going to not roll the greens as much. They're going to keep them a little bit more watered, and the course is going to be a little bit softer than we think just to keep it fair. So I'm going to be attacking the unders. And for birdies, you know, the course actually doesn't give up as many birdies as I would like to see to be chasing over 4.5. But if they're going to be lazy and hang 3.5, some fours, I will play it. Cause you got to remember there are four par fives out there. And when they move these, tee boxes around, those par threes, some of them actually kind of get gettable, right? So that'll be my plan for tomorrow. I'll be playing it more on the positive side. because this course just ain't living up to the teeth it was supposed to have. I think that's it, you motherfathers. I will see you again tomorrow for round four showdown. I will see you Sunday for last week retrospective and players pricing and first thoughts. And of course, I'll see you for the live stream Wednesday. But for right now, just enjoy this outro, you motherfathers.